What's up, guys? Bob Buskirk here at Think Computers, and we are on our weekly tech podcast, episode 4. It is March 20th, 2015, and on the line with me, once again, I have Derek. What's going on with you this morning, Derek?
Yo, what's going on, Bob?
Well, it's snowing outside, so I'm not exactly happy about that. But
oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it was like really nice here in Pittsburgh, and then it just this. I wake up this morning, and it's like that like wintry mix, like snow rain type thing, and I'm just like, when is this gonna be over? But hopefully it will be over soon. But let's just jump right into what we took a look at this week, our reviews for the week. So this week we took a look at a case from Silverstone. It's their Kublai series KL05, which not you, Derek, but the other Derek took a look at. And this is sort of like their entry-level case. It's $60, I believe. And it's a pretty good overall case. You know, we've seen a lot of these sort of entry-level builder-type cases. The one thing that I really liked about it when I actually got to see it in person at CES was that you're able to actually kind of like pop off the top and install a radiator and then put it back on. It just makes it a lot easier for people who are doing those type of builds. I'm sure you, as being a water cooling guy, would definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I mean, anything to simplify your radiator installation really will bring it makes it more accessible to people that, you know, first timers and people that have done it a lot that are just fed up with the hassle of jamming radiators in cases.
Yeah, so it just makes it so much easier. And again, it's great to see these kind of entry level cases come out, because I know a lot of people, that's, you know, some people that's sort of like their last priority really is a case. You know, they just want something that will work, but they still want all the features and all of the things that they would get in a normal case. And we've seen all the companies over the past couple years come out with these entry level cases. So that is a pretty good one from Silverstone. It's the Kublai Series KL05. If you're interested in it, go ahead and check out the review on the site. Moving on, I took a look at a pretty fast and pretty cool solid state drive from Corsair. It was their Neutron Series XT 240 gig solid state drive. I believe they offer it all the way up to 960 gig. And it is one of the better solid state drives I've reviewed this year, as far as speed and consistency and all of that. It's based on the Phison's latest controller. You'll see a lot of drives come out right around this time that are based on that controller. It just works really great. Again, very, like, across the board, just a completely solid drive. You know, and of course, coming from Corsair, what's great about that it comes from Corsair is that it has Corsair has their SSD toolbox. So if you need to do like a clean wipe or update firmware or anything like that, that utility through Corsair, which actually works with almost all of their SSDs, will allow you to do that as well. So that's kind of like an added bonus that you don't get with a lot of other drives. So you get that SSD toolbox utility that they do have. So yeah, if you want something really on the more performance side, not as much the what do you want to call it, like price side, on the performance side, this is one of the better drives to get. And then of course.
Less value driven.
Yeah, it's less value driven. It's more performance. They wanted to come out with the best performing drive in a 2.5 inch SATA form factor, and this is what they have right now. And you'll see a lot of companies come out with this, use this Phison controller, just because a lot of the big fabs are using their own controllers, and they have the ability, one, to make it a lower cost drive, which we've seen with Crucial. And they have the ability to really nail down on the firmware. So you'll see a lot of companies kind of move away from certain controllers and move to this Phison controller. So definitely worth checking out if you need a very high-end drive. And yeah, definitely a good drive. Definitely something if I was building like a high-end gaming rig that I would put a couple of these drives in there for sure. So,
and a 5-year warranty, that's
yeah. So, a lot of drives come with a 3-year warranty. So this drive actually comes with a 5-year warranty, which, that's another 2 more years on top of what you would get with a lot of these value-driven drives will only have 3-year warranties. This one has a 5-year warranty, which is
So you know
really
you're getting
great.
a good product.
Yeah, they stand behind their product. It's not going to be, because with a lot of, we've seen this in the past with a couple companies that they come out with these really value-oriented drives and the return rate's really high and, they only
Yep.
offer a short warranty and things like that. This, you're getting a good product. You know it's going to last. And if it doesn't last for some odd reason, which typically doesn't happen, I haven't really seen it that much with Corsair drives, you're going to be able to get it replaced, within that 5-year period. So,
Nice.
definitely a good drive. And then I actually reviewed a gaming keyboard, which is the Cougar 600K gaming keyboard, and it is a pretty nice keyboard. I actually reviewed the higher end keyboard, which is a 700K. So the 600K is a step down, but it still gives you the same aluminum design. So the keyboard design is all aluminum. You do have Cherry MX keys. The one I reviewed actually had Cherry MX Blues, which are really nice. I really like them because they're kind of like the in between for gaming and typing. And I mean, as you know, I write a lot of reviews and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it helps me for gaming, but it also helps me for typing as well. I just like the
Yeah.
feedback that I get from the Cherry MX Blues. But on the keyboard itself, as I said, it is a step down from the 700K. It's not fully backlit, which I don't know. I don't, sometimes it's not a big deal, but I feel that almost every keyboard now is fully backlit, so not being fully backlit I felt was kind of weird.
Yeah, especially at that price. I mean, because just about, like you said in the review, just about everything at the 129 price will give you full backlight.
Yeah,
So.
so that's one of the things I didn't like about it. Also, is that there's no companion software or anything that comes with it, so you can't do any macros, you can't reprogram any keys. You can't change certain settings like you could with the higher end 700K. Some purists may like that. It's completely plug and play. You just plug it in and it works off the bat.
Yeah.
But again, if you want to, maybe change like your F row to certain macros, maybe in a game or something like that, which a lot of people do,
Yeah.
even when they have the smaller keyboards, a lot of people do that. You don't have that functionality, which I feel, again, at that price point should be in, part of the.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I get
It's
why.
kind of weird that it's not there.
Yeah,
That there's nothing.
I get why they've done that, because they kind of needed to differentiate between the 700K and 600K. But at the same time, I think the 600 or the 700K is only $20 more.
Yeah.
Which for $20 more, I would just go with the 700K. It's a little bit bigger. It has more fun. It has an extra row of function keys and things like that. But it gives you a lot more functionality. It's fully backlit. It's just a better
Yeah.
keyboard in my opinion. But again, if you're not looking for all that and you maybe want to save $20, you could go for the 600K. So that is the keyboard. It's still a good keyboard. At Cougar, one thing I've really liked about Cougar is that they kind of were just kind of just like this no-name brand really, and then they were doing cases, mid-range cases and
Yeah.
mid-range power supplies, and then they jumped into this gaming thing. They've actually come out with some really good products. I really like the 700K, and the 600K still is really good. I actually have the 500K here too, which is another step down, which I'll be taking a look at in a couple of weeks. But their gaming range is actually really, really good. So it's definitely worth checking them out if you're looking for, say, a new mouse or a new keyboard. Cougar is definitely worth taking a look at. And then you actually did a little follow-up review to your original review on the Fantex Enthu Evolve ITX. You did a full water cooling system in it. So I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit. I thought it was awesome that you were able to do that. So yeah, if you just want to tell us a little bit about what you did and how easy or how hard it actually was.
Sure. I mean, starting out, I mean, it's an ITX case, so you kind of know it's going to be difficult just because it's going to be spawned no matter what. But thanks to Fantex, it wasn't as painful as it could have been, mainly due to the radiator mount tray that's in the top of the case. This actually slides out, you mount your radiator to it, and then you just slide it right back in. So you're not dealing with a permanently mounted radiator that's in the way the entire time. So the biggest thing that I liked about that was that I mounted it, I test fit other parts, I pulled it back out, I was able to install the blocks and some of the tubing and other accessories, and then just slide it right back in and then finish off the tubing. So it really, that simplified the whole build, this because otherwise it would have been like entirely in the way. I probably would have been installing it and taking it back out, installing it, taking it back out, because that's just what happens when you're doing a build like this. But overall, it was a fun build to do. I mean, I got a full XSPC RX 240 in the top, which is a really thick radiator with push fans in the bottom of it. I probably could have done push pull, but it would have pretty much taken up the entire bay of the case, and I wanted to maintain some airflow because I wasn't able to water cool the video card due to the limited amount of radiator that I had in it, unfortunately. If I was to do the build again, I would probably go back and do it with some thinner radiators, and then I would put a 280 in the top and a 240 in the front. But other than that, it was really fun, and I'm running it now still. It's gonna probably turn into my main gaming machine, so I'm pretty happy with this case.
That's awesome. Now, did you ever think you would use such a small case for your main, for your like your main PC?
No, I mean I've come from some massive cases that I've modded and done full builds in, and so like this is like a step back sort of, but it's nice to not take up the huge amount of desktop real estate with it.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And it seems like they said, I was really surprised when you were telling me that you were going to do this, and I didn't really expect you to have those those larger radiators in there. So it's actually pretty cool that you were able to do that, and build the full loop out and do all that. So, you know, if you're looking for a extremely small case to do a, you know, a custom loop in, this is a case that you can definitely do it in. We've proved that you can do it, obviously, with Derek's build. Go ahead, check out the article too. So it's really cool to be able to see that you can do this. And Derek goes step by step on how he was able to do it. And you know, the installation of all of the water cooling components and all of that. So definitely go ahead and check that out for sure. And talking about custom loops and things like that, we actually have our case mod this week for Case Mod Friday, which is a custom design here. It's a completely scratch build. So if you're not familiar with case modding that much, a scratch build is something that somebody builds from scratch. It's not based on a current case. It's not you know, built in a case. A case isn't actually modded. Someone actually built a
It's
case from scratch.
complete one off.
Yeah, so what this person did, who, let me find, it's a military math modding, I believe. Let me scroll down. Yeah, or math military modding. What he did was he made an Asus Strix themed build. So Asus Strix is sort of like Asus's gaming sort of line. I know they have Republic of Gamers, but they've come out with a Strix line as well, with its own branding and all of that stuff. So what he actually did is he made this custom case, which is pretty unique, all aluminum panels and all of that. And the front part of the case is designed in a way that it fits two very large radiators. And of course, he has a custom water cooling loop and two water cooled graphics cards. And of course, they're the Asus Strix cards, and he has an Asus motherboard in there. One thing that I thought was really cool about this, which is the first time I've actually seen this, is he did his own carbon fiber tubing on all of the water cooling tubing. So that I thought that was pretty cool. I don't think I've ever seen that before. I don't know if you have either.
No, actually, that was not something I was familiar with. We had to look it up and double check. It's not just acrylic tubing wrapped in carbon fiber wrap. It's actual carbon fiber tubing, which is, I don't know if I'd want to do it. It seems like it could be a headache. Like you're like cutting it and having it shatter. I don't know. I've not worked with carbon fiber, but it just seems like if it's any, it's got to be similar to fiberglass, and I don't know. So it seems to me like this is like the extra effort, and it really stands out. It's really cool. That's definitely the feature I like the most about it.
That's the I feel that's the coolest thing about this. It still it looks really great. Of course, it's a black design with red accents, for ASUS. I assume that he I don't know if he built this for ASUS or he just is a huge fan of the Strix line and he wanted to do something like this. It's really cool. There's all these accents all over the case that give it just this really cool look. He also custom cut out on the front of the case ASUS Strix logo as well as an EK logo on the bottom, which looks really cool. So definitely worth checking out. And of course, we do this every Friday. We feature a case mod in the community, so you can go back and check out all of them. We've listed some really great mods lately. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in the modding scene, so definitely go ahead and check that out. But we'll go ahead and move into the news for the week. And there was quite a lot of news this week, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll start with AMD and then of course we'll move into Nvidia. But the first thing with AMD is apparently the R9 390X specifications leaked. The biggest thing that I see on this is the stream processor count compared to the 290X is like almost doubled. Well, not almost doubled, but it's much, much higher. So the R9 290X had 2,816 stream processors. The R9 390X will have 4,096. So just based on that, you're gonna see a much higher performance.
Yeah, a significant amount of
Yeah, significant amount of performance and all of that. And the way this was leaked was, I guess AMD was given a presentation. We assume it was to their board partners who are also going to come out with these cards. And I guess somebody with their cell phone took a picture of the slides, and that's what came up. One slide that was interesting was the there was one performance graph. This is AMD performance graph, so you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. But
Right.
it shows the performance compared to a 290X, and it looks like it's almost double the performance in 4K UHD gaming test, which looks very, very promising. Again, we can't really take this to heart because we really don't know the source of it.
Right.
But these do look like legit slides from AMD. I've seen AMD stacks, the press stacks and everything, and these look like what they would be. But you never know at this point. Again, as we talked about last week, you'll probably see the R9 390X launch at Computex, so we still have a good bit of time before we really get into final drivers and specifications and all of that stuff. But as of right now, this looks really promising. It looks like it is going to be able to compete with Nvidia based on the specs. But again, it all comes down to when the card comes out and how it actually really performs then. But it's definitely cool to see. I
Yes.
think that we're going to see this year. It's going to be a pretty big fight between Nvidia and AMD on higher end cards, which is great to see, I feel. And I think it brings a lot of fun stuff to the community and just makes covering this stuff a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, I the one thing that I found interesting while reading some comments on this actually was that there's like pricing rumored about it, that it's going to be $699, I believe. And a lot of people were really unhappy with that, and I didn't understand why. I actually thought that $699 sounded relatively reasonable for a card that sh if it actually has the performance that they're claiming here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, so we'll go. Well, talking about that, Nvidia just launched their GTX Titan X, which is actually our next news story, and that is actually a $1,000 card, right?
Right,
So,
exactly.
coming in at $699, and the thing is if that's for the water cooling edition. So the R9390X is going to have a water cooling edition, as it's that's been rumored since we've first heard of it. So it's going to have a closed loop cooling system built in, and all of that. $699, I don't feel as bad if it's gonna if it does have the performance that it supposedly is supposed to have, right?
Exactly.
But at the same time, by Computex, the Titan X could go down in price as well. But you never know.
Yeah, I don't think so though, 'cause like that's what the original Titan was. It was $1,000,
Yeah.
and I don't think it ever price dropped. They just came out with different versions that were more expensive still.
Yeah.
I think that Nvidia just is, it doesn't care. They'll probably just sit on the price, and if you want that performance, you pay for it, essentially.
Yeah,
That's how I
so
feel.
talking about that, this week was the GPU Technology Conference, and of course the biggest thing that AMD actually officially launched the Titan X. We kind of got all the specs last week because they were leaked. But just to give a quick rundown, 3072 CUDA cores, 192 TMUs, 96 ROPS, and a 384-bit GDDR5 memory interface that holds that massive 12 gigabytes of memory. And it's available today, right? The 20th?
Yeah, that's what Newegg said it was. Let me
Yeah.
check. They had the pre-order, but then the release date said it was for today,
Yeah,
so
so, and this is a thousand
they could
dollar
be out in the
card.
wild.
Yeah. This is a
Oh, yep, they're out of stock now, so.
yeah. So it's a $1,000 card. This is the ultimate enthusiast card, or ultimate single GPU enthusiast card right now.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if the performance, well, and we know that the performance numbers on this are real, because
yeah.
they actually got in the hands of some testers. So this thing is actually, it's a really impressive card, but it's $1,000.
Yeah. So
And
that kind of puts it into the realm of ultra enthusiast, I feel. And people
yes.
that have money to throw away, I feel too. And the thing is too, is a lot of people, you really don't need that card. If you're doing 1080p gaming, which I feel a lot of people still are, there's no need for
Yeah.
that card. But if you're going into the 4K, that's a 4K gaming card. That's what it's made for, really.
Yep.
So definitely keep that in mind if that's something that you might be considering. Go buy a 4K display before you go buy that card.
Yeah. Try a 4K display on your current card, and then you can justify the purchase of a Titan X.
Yeah, for sure.
It's either 4K or some of these overclock guys that just do HW bot stuff, and all they want to do is set new records. I mean, that's
Yeah.
the only two people that have a reason to own this card.
Yeah. So, but it's a thing that I think
It's
that,
cool.
yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a cool card. Definitely something that I mean, I think anybody would want. But I don't,
Yeah.
the people that who are actually going to spend the $1,000 is not a whole lot, I feel.
Right.
So
When the Titan came out, the original Titan, I bought two of them. And I was like, I gotta have these cards. They're so cool. This is the first time anything like this has ever happened. And I sold them within 2 or 3 months, I believe, and run a single 690 now. So it's really, you gotta have a reason to need it, in my opinion, or else it's just a big investment sitting pretty much unused.
yeah, that's kind of how I feel on it. Even if I had one or got one even to review, I wouldn't put it in my main system, I feel. Because I run two 1080p displays and that's all I need. Really.
Yep.
It's not something that I feel is a need.
Yep, I agree.
What?
I agree.
Yeah. So, that's kind of what happened as far as graphic card news this week. We've actually had some cool motherboard news this week, which I like because motherboards. I'm like super into motherboards. I review all the motherboards on the site. I love motherboard stuff. That's kind of like my thing. So, the first piece of motherboard news we saw this week that ASRock unveiled the world's first mini ITX socket LGA 2011 V3 motherboard. So that is a Haswell E motherboard in mini ITX form factor, which is extremely impressive because nobody had.
Especially from them.
Yeah, because nobody's really done it like this. And that, just the CPU socket itself takes up a good amount of motherboard space.
It does.
Yeah,
I'm
so
surprised how many other features they were able to get in spite
yeah.
of that.
So again, Mini ITX is extremely small, and the board is actually called the X99E-ITX AC. And it actually ships with their own cooler that goes, that to use, because I think it actually has a different type of socket, because the real LGA 2011 V3 socket wouldn't fit correctly. So they have this specialized,
It's rectangular instead of square, right?
specialized mounting on the socket for this cooler that it comes with, which doesn't look like the craziest cooler, especially to cool off a very high-end
No.
processor like a Haswell E processor. But we don't know the performance numbers on that. But it's really cool. The only really downside to this motherboard is you only get two DDR4 slots instead of four, so you run dual channel instead of quad channel.
Yeah.
That's the only real downside. But if you're looking to build the pretty much the most ultimate gaming rig, this will now be the motherboard to do it on, I feel. Just because
Yeah,
you can
in a
load it up
small form
with
factor.
the most powerful, processor out there now, and it still has a lot of great features built into it as well.
It's such an interesting layout too. I mean, you've got the 24 pin at the top and the 8 pin at the on the side now, and they kind of swap those. It's because of the socket length. That's really
Yeah,
interesting,
and I
and
think that
God, it's just like really cool board.
yeah, it's really cool. It's really small. I don't think they announced pricing, but I don't expect it to be overly expensive based on the size. It's probably going to be one
Yeah, I
of
would.
the most inexpensive X99 boards out there because of the size, but it's
What
not
do you
going
th
to be super, super cheap either.
I'd guess between 2 and 250.
Yeah, I would think like 229. That's my guess.
Okay.
But we'll see. They didn't announce pricing or availability yet. So as they decide to actually launch the board, we'll get news on that. The second motherboard, which I was expecting for a while, comes from Asus, and they actually launched their TUF Sabertooth X99. TUF, TUF, that stands for the Ultimate Force. And these motherboards have been around for a while. They're the ones that have the thermal armor on them. And the Sabertooth boards have, like I said, they've been around for a couple generations now. And I know a lot of people like them because they're extremely reliable. They have this whole reliability thing that goes along with them. And they look really great. So it's great to see that that series has made it to X99 and, of course, Haswell E. And the board just looks awesome.
It does. I think it's one of the best Armor series boards they've done. I really like the back plate, and the IO cover is really neat too.
Yeah, it's if you've never seen a TUF series board, they have this thermal armor that's actually it's a sort of like a plastic type covering on the front, and the back is actually metal. So kind of like sh it's kind of looks like shielding or something like that, but it just makes the board
Yeah, like
look
armor plating.
yeah, it makes the board look really awesome. And all of the PCI Express slots have these like dust covers on them, as well as all the connections on the back have all these dust covers as well. So it just keeps everything nice and clean and all of that. One thing that's really cool that's new on this board that isn't on the other older boards is that this thing called TUF Detective. What it does is you can actually connect your Android phone via USB to the board, and you can diagnose errors and all of that. Via your smartphone.
That's cool.
Yeah, they have this. They have it on a lot of their boards. Their ROG boards. It's called ROG Connect. It's
Yeah.
sort of like the same thing. So they brought that over to the TUF series as well. Definitely like to see. This board also has USB 3.1. The normal ports, not the C-type port, but the or C-type connection, but the normal A-type connection. So it's good to see
Just with the faster.
USB 3.1 on a board like this for sure. So definitely cool
Yeah.
that to for that to see. Comes with a 5-year warranty as well, which of course is that's expected on a tough series board. This is definitely a board that I'd love to get my hands on and take a look at. It just looks awesome and all of the different features. There's so many other features that we didn't mention that are on this board. We actually have a link to the release page, and it'll give you all of the information on it. But it's just a really, really nice board. I think this is going to be one of the X99 board to get now these days, I feel. A lot of people have already commented that as soon as it comes out, that's the board they're going to get. They were going to get some other type of board, but this is now the one that they're going to get. And I feel the exact same way. Like, this is the X99 board that I would want.
Yeah. And it's like a really good neutral color too. So
Yeah.
you could really use this in like almost any build.
For
I
sure.
like it a lot.
Yeah, I really like it. But again, no word yet on pricing. I'm sure that will come out very soon. Moving on, as we try to get through this news. You actually did a pretty cool article about Microsoft's Cortana, so I don't know if you wanted to go into detail on
Yeah.
what that is all about.
So if you're not familiar with Cortana, she is Microsoft's Siri essentially, but she's a little bit more robust than Siri is even already. Siri is essentially just like a voice-activated search engine, and it uses Google. So it's really, I don't know, it's like most Apple things. It looks really cool, but it's not that great. But Cortana is actually more along the lines of an AI. She learns what you do, and we're about to get the next version of Cortana, which is going to release on Windows 10, which is cool that we're going to have. I mean, Microsoft has tried personal assistants. I mean, everybody remembers the stupid what
Paper?
paperclip
Yeah, I was gonna say, I hate that. I hate that guy.
from Word. Oh my, yeah, everybody hated the paperclip. First thing you did was go and turn him off. But so it's not their first attempt at an AI on a desktop, but I actually feel that since this has worked well on the phone, that bringing it to the desktop is a good idea. It's going to make us familiar with it. If it's smart and it's not annoying, hopefully it doesn't just like pop up like the paperclip all the time and like suggest things to you. But this newest version is actually supposed to be able to read your email, understand what's in your email, and then help you by reminding you of meetings coming, picking routes for you, alerting you to traffic problems. So that's like really cool. And it's like it's kind of to me it's the next it's a huge step towards like real AI, even though it's not even close. But it's I don't know, it's one of those things that seems really futuristic and cool, and we've seen things like, I mean, if you played Halo, you know who Cortana is. She's like your assistant and she guides you through the games, and like so we all kind of have this concept of like eventually someday we're all gonna have that, and so this feels like a step in that direction.
Now, one thing that I felt was pretty interesting about the article was that this will be multi-platform.
Right. That was the other really cool thing, is that not only is it getting more developed and it should be the most advanced software of this type, but Microsoft is finally, I feel, doing something incredibly intelligent, and they're breaking away from trying to force you to buy Windows, and they're going to make Cortana an app that's available on both Android and iOS.
Now, do you
So
think that
that's really
Apple
cool.
will try to block it because it's like Siri?
They might, I guess. Do you think, my question is, do you think if it's popular enough, will they let it through? I mean,
Well,
Apple has blocked a lot of things in the past, but
I'm not sure. I mean, it would be great if we could have that option, say, just like Google Now. If we could say, hey, do I want Google Now on my phone? Do I want Cortana on my phone, or do I want Siri on my phone?
right.
The actual that you could actually have a choice would be a great thing. But I don't see Apple allowing that to happen. You know what I mean?
Possibly
Just
not.
how Apple
Possibly
is.
not.
But again, this is something that, of course, is in development, and it's great that Microsoft wants to branch it out and allow everybody to use it. I feel that that's a step away from, their past different, developments of certain things. So,
It's
it's
they've been so single-minded in the past.
yeah. So
Just you have
it's
to get all of our things.
yeah. So it's great to see that. We'll see if it gets into both the Apple Store as well as the Google Play Store, and how well it actually works on those devices. Of course, that is all in the future. Talking about Microsoft, there was a lot of Windows 10 news this week. We didn't get a set launch date for Windows 10, but Microsoft did confirm that it will launch this summer, which is good. We weren't really sure when to expect it. There's been technical previews out and all of that, but it's good to see that Microsoft has said, "Hey, this summer you're going to get Windows 10." We would hope that we don't see any delays or any pushbacks, but I would say late summer, end of August. I feel that that's kind of when we're looking at Windows 10 launch, in my opinion.
That'd be really good.
Yeah, so that's what they said. And with that, there's, like I said, they had a bunch of news this week. The one cool thing, which was kind of interesting, is that Microsoft has said that before, a couple weeks ago, they announced that Windows 10 will be free for the first year for Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 users, which everybody liked because typically you would have to pay for a new version of Windows. That's how it's always been, or pay to upgrade. So they have done that for Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 users. But now they're saying that you'll also be able to upgrade if your copy of Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 is pirated. Which is kind of smart, I feel, for Windows, because they want more people on the same operating system, I feel. I feel that there's still people using XP, and then you have everybody on Windows 7, some people still on Vista, Windows 8, people who haven't upgraded to 8.1. It's like they have all these different versions, and I think they want people to be really unified on one version. So I think,
Yeah, they're probably sick of having to support the old versions,
yeah,
which is probably
that
costing
too.
them a lot.
But one thing that wasn't in the original article, that I actually saw an article this morning, is that Microsoft clarified that yes, if you have a unlicensed pirated version, you will be able to upgrade to Windows 10, but it won't be a fully licensed version. So I'm not actually sh and they haven't really clarified what that means. So you might not be able to get certain updates, so there might be certain features, or you might not be able to use the Windows Store, or certain things like that. We're not really sure yet. As it comes closer to
Or
launch,
it'll be full of ads or
yeah, or
something.
something. Not really sure exactly what that means. But that was an article this morning, that I just read, that you will be able to upgrade, but you won't. You're not. It's not like they're going to give you a license for that first year, so you're not going to have that. But I still think it's great that they're just saying everybody, if just upgrade to it. And I think a lot of people have been waiting for Windows 10. A lot of people have been really sick of Windows 8 and 8.1. I'm still running 7.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So.
I bought 8, and then I was like, nah, back to 7.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people are waiting for it. I'm pretty excited for it. I will probably upgrade, I feel, just because it just looks really great. And it seems like they've actually listened to users and what the users want for the release. So I'm pretty excited for Windows 10. And one really cool thing about Windows 10 that was also in the news this week is it's going to have peer-to-peer or BitTorrent-like updates. So if you have ever tried to do a large Windows update that takes a extremely long time, especially at certain times of the day, peak times, what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to turn on, say, like shared updates. And what that would allows you to do is not only will you be able to grab updates off other users online, but you'll also be able to grab the updates from computers on your own network. So say, my computer
Oh, cool.
upstairs will have that update already. then I can easily grab it from that PC extremely fast, extremely quick, and have my other systems update off that system.
That's incredibly useful for somebody that like is the head of house or whatever and maintains all the PCs in their home. Now you don't have to run around downloading it every single time on every PC. You can just download it once and then get it from that one.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, so that seems that's
And it saves them from having to support all the downloads too. That's a smart move all around.
Yeah, so that was in the latest preview, and it hasn't been specifically confirmed by Microsoft that it will be in the final release, but I'm sure it will be just because it makes that much sense, you know what I mean? And then our final piece of Microsoft or Windows 10 news is Windows 10, as we have heard for a while, is going to launch with a brand new browser that's a codename Project Spartan right now. So we weren't really sure what they were going to do, if they were going to call it Internet Explorer or whatever, but they're pretty much going to retire the Internet Explorer name completely. And they're going to name it something completely different. I think with all the bad rap that Internet Explorer has, usually the first thing you tell people when they're getting a new PC or your family's PC, install Firefox or Chrome. That's usually the first thing because you don't want to use Internet Explorer. So with such a bad name for the pro, on Internet Explorer, Microsoft plans to completely retire the brand. There will be a version of Internet Explorer on Windows 10, but it's more or less for like legacy use and enterprise use and things like that. The main way people will get on the internet or get on the web on Windows 10 will be this new browser called Project Spartan.
So, is this Project Spartan supposed to be built in like Internet Explorer, or is it like actually like Chrome and Firefox where you can go out and grab it?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I know it's a comp
I would vastly prefer that. That would be really cool if they did
Yeah,
that.
I'm almost positive it's going to be built into the operating system as far as like it's going to ship with the operating system.
Right.
But it's a brand new browser. It's completely redesigned from the bottom up from what I know. So it's
I
not
think that on
based.
their part, that's a good idea to rename it then, because
Yeah.
if it's completely different, it doesn't they don't want it to have any of that negativity attached to
Yeah,
it.
so it because Microsoft over the past couple of years has tried to really rebrand Internet Explorer. You saw those ads there, I think it was like a year ago or a year maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You saw all of those ads and everything like that for Internet Explorer, and
Trying to convince us that it's good now.
yeah, and all this stuff. So I think they're just saying, forget that. We're just going to do this new browser built from the ground up to be completely different and all of that stuff. So that's sort of what they're planning on doing. I think it's a great move on their part, and I'm really excited to actually see that browser and see, how it works, how fast it is and all of that. So
Yeah, should be really cool.
our final piece of news for the week, which isn't a huge surprise to me. I'm sure everybody listening is at least familiar with the Beats by Dre headphones. That's Dr. Dre's headphone company, which was I didn't really follow the news that closely when it happened, but I believe was bought by Apple not that long ago. But anyways,
Yeah.
these are very expensive headphones. I think they usually range from like 200 for an over-the-ear headphone to all the way up to like 400, something like that. They're very expensive.
Yeah.
You see all these celebrity DJs and rappers and all these people have these headphones, but it's come out that these headphones only cost $14 to make, which isn't a huge surprise, with every piece of electronics that we have and all of that. You expect there to be, they're going to pay, it's going to cost less
Yeah.
for them to build it than what we're paying. But this seems pretty,
The margins are always
this
big.
seems a very large margin. And a lot of people aren't really surprised because the people who actually know headphones know that the Beats by Dre don't necessarily sound that great. From what.
In fact,
Go ahead.
what Time ranked them as the second worst sounding headphone set?
Yeah.
in their 18 set tests, so that's pretty poor considering they're probably one of the most expensive.
Yeah, so I think that, just like any big brand that has a lot of celebrity backing or anything like that, it gets that brand name and they can charge and people will pay for it. I mean, it's just like Apple in their products too, when compared to other products that have the same horsepower or, whatever, it's the same type of thing.
It's exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting to see that they only cost
It's kind of
14.
the funniest thing to me is that you actually have like DJs using these headphones. Like, obviously they're just sponsored and selling them, but like to me that's kind of sad on their part. Like you should be obsessed with sound and you're using a $14 headset.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting too. And I've never seen a like, 'cause I go to like a lot of EDM shows. I've never seen like an EDM
Right.
DJ use Beats by Dre. But I think a lot of these bigger name R&B and hip hop DJs and stars and all this, they use these headphones because it's sponsored, right? They're paid to use them. And again, that's what makes the brand. That's what makes this brand. They own Beats by Dre owns 28% of the headphone market, which is pretty big chunk. And that's the reason why is because they're good at marketing, just like Apple and all of these other
Very true.
big companies. And I think that's the reason why these people are using them. And once you have that good brand recognition, it's pretty easy to sell your product and pretty easy to sell consumers a product that's not the best out there for a price that you would expect it to be the best out there.
Right.
Yeah. So, that is basically the news for the week. Definitely some cool stuff to talk about, especially with Windows 10 and all of that. So definitely, again, we'll have links to all of that in our show notes for this episode. But moving on to next week, we have some pretty cool reviews. I will actually be taking a look at another solid state drive. It's actually based on the same Phison controller that was in the Corsair Neutron XT that I took a look at this week. This one is the Patriot Ignite 480 gig solid state drive. So Patriot, again, is not the number one brand, I don't feel, that a lot of people are thinking about when it comes to solid state drives, but this drive should be pretty good. I'm actually testing it right now, so I haven't finished testing, so I can't really tell you that much about it, but I'm thinking that it's going to perform pretty much up to par with the Neutron XT, which will be pretty cool. And then
It should be interesting to see the controller versus the controller, same controller with the bigger size, to see if the size actually, because in the past that's always made a difference. The bigger drive is usually a bit faster. So it'll be cool to see the difference there.
Well, I'm not specifically sure. So the reason that the larger drives, for the most part, have a little bit better performance is because they have more NAND chips actually on the PCB.
Right.
So you have more parallelism with the controller and the NAND. So, but I'm not actually sure this one has the same amount. I think this one actually has the same amount. They're just larger chips.
Oh, okay. So really, that shouldn't make a
Yeah, it
difference
should make a huge
if that's
difference.
the case.
Yeah. But again, I'll go into all that once I get, this weekend I'll be testing the drive completely and going over all of that stuff. Of course, and then we can, see the results. Derek, not you, Derek, or the other Derek, will be taking a look at another Silverstone case. He's still taking a look at the Precision Series PS11. And again, this is another entry-level case from Silverstone. This is a quiet case, so it has the sound dampening material and all of that. So somebody who's looking again for a pretty basic case, but wants a more silent case too. We get these large coolers or, these radiators with dual fans and all of that. You want to keep the case nice and cool, but you still want to have, you want to be silent and you don't want it to sound like it's taking off or anything like that. So this case is made to be that type of case. It is, like I said, a sort of a silent type case. Comes in at $49.99, which is pretty cheap for this type of case. So, definitely be cool to
It's
take.
like a, it's Like a small mid tower.
Yeah, I mean it's a mid tower, but it's a smaller mid tower. It's not one of the larger ones. But yeah, it's a typical mid tower, a little bit smaller, and again it has that sound dampening material that will keep should keep your case pretty quiet and all of that. And then I have some reviews that I'm working on too. I'm working on a new X99 motherboard. It's not the tough series X99 that I want, but I'm looking at Asus's X99A, which is they're pretty much their most entry level X99 board. It will, it comes in at a pretty good price point. I just put the system together yesterday with it. It has a lot of the features that you will find in all of Asus's X99 boards. So if you're looking for an X99 motherboard through Asus, this is their most entry level one. And again, I haven't really got into it that much, so I can't really tell you that much about it right yet. But again, I'll be testing it all this weekend, and next week we'll have the full review on the site. And then finally, I'm also taking a look at a new set of Bluetooth headphones from Luxottu. It is their Lavvy D, which is a set of over-the-ear Bluetooth headphones, again, that are going to allow you to have that wireless connectivity with your Bluetooth device. They have 40 mm drivers in each ear cup, so they sound should sound pretty good. They have controls on the ear cups as well, so you could so you don't necessarily have to have your phone on you. To say change songs
That's a nice feature.
and all of that, it's all actually on the ear cup, so you can just change it. You can turn volume up and down on the ear cup as well. So that's what we're going to be taking a look at next week, and that pretty much wraps it up for this week. I do want to remind you that our podcast is on iTunes, so if you want to subscribe, you can easily do that, so then you'll always get updated. But you can also, we have a podcast page on the website that has all of our podcasts, and that's where you'll find all of the show notes and everything that we go over today will be there. So I'll have links to all of the articles and all of the products and everything like that. Anything else you want to talk about, Derek?
No, I think we got it covered.
Okay. All right. Well, as always, guys, we thank you for listening, and we'll catch y'all later.